Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for taking a moment to share. You don't have to share all your resolutions, okay? Those of you who have made a bunch. Let's do a quick, I'm gonna ask you to do a quick hand raise. Are you a resolution person? Raise your hand. Wow, we're gonna be a bunch of losers this next year, aren't we? I'm not either, you know, so. So good. You know what? You're probably thinking I'm on at 10:16. Those of you who are live stream are wondering what's going on. I am going to share briefly, and we're going to have someone share, but we're going to leave time at the end of the service to share. At that point, we'll kind of say goodbye to you live streamers. You should have been here to get all the sharing in. Otherwise, we got to ask everyone for permission, but we won't do that. But I'm excited about this Sunday, and thank you for showing up and being a part of this morning, because it is the last of 2023. Isn't that great? I measure it now as it's 3 years from 2020, which is really wonderful to get by all that and see what God's going to do in this coming year. But it is a wonderful thing. And today ends 2023. Last year is over. Another Christmas is over and done, which means I will not be wearing these till next year. We're done with Christmas. What's done has been done. It's in the past, so I'm going to encourage you to let it go, okay? That's one of the things I want you to be thinking about. We're going to talk about this life that we have with God, where there are new mercies every morning. Isn't that amazing? You get fresh starts all the time, but in a really neat way, we get to say goodbye to a year, and we get to kind of let go of all that and make it yesterday like it should be. And look forward to God's love towards us, this experience of what we'll know in the coming year, whether it's something that's going to be difficult or whether it's something that will be really good. We talked about this at Christmas. God's walking with you, and you get the choice to walk with him every day. You get to choose the with God life. And so we're going to begin again as we start tomorrow, January 1, 2024. And it's a new beginning for all of us. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read a scripture in a moment. But what I want you to do is take some, what I call a couple of collective cleansing breaths. Okay? God gave us breath. It was his gift to us. One of the great things about breath, and they studied it medically, when you just pay attention, it actually does slow you down and kind of bring things together in a way. And especially as you make focus on God, who is the one who's the giver of your breath. And I just want you to inhale really deeply God's love. And as you exhale, I want you to let go of whatever it is that kind of might keep you stuck. I don't know what it could be for you. It could be unmet expectations. It could be a failure. It could be a misguided decision. It could have been a missed opportunity. Could be guilt over something that you willfully did and you've asked for forgiveness. And if you haven't, do it right away. And just breathe in again. And receive God's grace, his empowering presence. He is not far from you. He is a breath away. He is with you. And so then exhale. Exhale and let go of all your worry and stress. And for a moment, as we end this year, just breathe it out. And then inhale again. Inhale again and receive God's love and forgiveness. And whatever you might experience, whatever that shame or guilt is, if you've asked for that forgiveness, just exhale that out and give it to Jesus. And let's read together this verse, which is going to be a verse that will cover these next number of weeks as we look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3, specifically Genesis 1 in the next month, the God of beginnings. And let's read this together. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Just take a moment and before God, just say, God, what is it that I need to let go of so you can place in my hands in this coming year? This is not about our willful resolutions. This is about being receptive participants with the God who has created you. So let's say this again. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. As we go through this 7 days from 7th through the 14th time of fast, prayer, and share, this is one of the verses that will be kind of key to what we go through. It might be a great verse for you just to memorize. It actually was the very first verse that I preached on in the very first message that I ever gave in a church. So it's special to me. Thanks, you may be seated. Tomorrow begins a new day. It begins a new week, a new month, a new year. And tomorrow is a new beginning for you. It is a new beginning for you in some way. This January, we will reaffirm this and reaffirm this truth that we have found and we'll be looking at over these next few weeks in Genesis. In the very first book of the Bible, the first chapter and the first verse, it begins like this. In the beginning, God. God is a God of beginnings. He is a God of fresh starts. He is a God of new births and rebirths. He is a God of continuous renewals. And this is the God that we enter into the new year with. Because we believe that God, as we keep our eyes open and perceive and say, God, what are you doing in our midst? How are you going to be working? What do you want me to participate with? I really believe for some there will be some new beginnings in your life. And I believe also for some of you, God wants you to keep that discerning, perceiving eye aware because there are people around you that God has been working in their lives and he is preparing them for a fresh start. One of the ways he keeps us from moving into fresh starts is by getting us focused on ourselves. And the way we can't see in the present is sometimes that we just focus on the past and we get stuck in it. And God is bringing an opportunity before us. He's moving in such a way and we miss the fresh start that we might be engaged with someone else. And my guess is he'll use someone else and not you, and you will miss the joy. I am going to ask you to pray with your heart. God, give me discernment. I want to participate in a new beginning or a fresh start in someone's life around me, whether it's at work, a family member, or someone God brings into your life because you went through a grocery store and met them, right? And I also want you to understand the thrill of how God works because we'll see in Genesis, he loves to hover around that which is non-formed and chaotic and disordered and or really non-ordered and to move with his Holy Spirit. So pay attention to those areas that may not look like it's all together in your life or in the life of someone else and pay attention to the moving of God's Spirit and ask him to perceive. Because God's doing a new thing. So we're going to end this time with some sharing. But before we do that, I am really excited to introduce to you someone who I'm just going to say this, it lives out kind of the, when Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock kind of experience, and had the opportunity to have a new beginning, and I heard Deb Sheffer's story. So Deb, if you want to come up, and she shared it with me, and I just thought, wow, this is really cool. What I love about stories is every story is different, so don't get hung up on any part, because God works with all of us in unique ways, and he has worked with you in a unique way, Deb, and I'm so glad you're here. And would you just give her a hand for the courage to come up and share her story?
Thank you.
Deb has lived in this Minneapolis area, around this area for quite some time, moved to Golden Valley during 2020. Not always the best decision to move to a new place with no one you know when everyone's holed up. But you've had a career in education. You have your PhD in education. You taught at Hamline University. And one of the ways that you have connected yourself to us and some of our staff is that you are working part-time for the twins at Target Field. And you gave our staff a tour this summer, which was fantastic.
It was unbelievable,
right? We got to see everything. Kirby Puckett's old locker room. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so Deb, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for being here, and thanks for sharing your story with everyone. Would you want to just begin by sharing a little bit about your background, you know, who you are and where you got to where you're at today?
Sure. When I was growing up, my family went to church every Sunday, because that's what you did. Because my dad was a teacher, becoming a principal, we moved to various towns, and church was always the center of the community. We met our friends through there. My parents met their friends through there, so church was always center. As I was teaching and having different opportunities, I started teaching at a particular school, and one of my friends, her husband was a pastor, and so she invited me to church one time, and it was great. I fell in love with the church, and I was very, very involved, but he was young. They were going to transfer to a bigger church, so I just stopped going.
Yeah. So you, for a good period of your life, just quit going to church. Mm-hmm. And in that process, tell us a little bit about then how you got here, a little bit what that journey was.
I was living downtown in Minneapolis in a high-rise, and I moved there for five reasons. Well, then we had some riots, some awful things going on in downtown Minneapolis, and all of a sudden I was checking in with myself, and those five things were gone. And also for safety, I thought, I need to move. And I found this lovely neighborhood in Golden Valley, although at the time I didn't know it was lovely. I moved in the middle of COVID, the week before Christmas. It was dark. I didn't know anybody. I'd walk around my complex or whatever, and I saw no one. You know, people were pretty much staying at home. I didn't even see people in the elevator. So it was really, really dark. Finally, spring came, and I started to meet people. But I still wasn't happy. There was this emptiness. So I was praying to God for guidance. It's like, what do I do here? This is all new. Help me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in a kind of a desperate place.
One day I met this wonderful person named Kim Pastor. She invited me to church. I enjoyed church. I was meeting more and more people. But I was noticing that she looked different to me. You guys look different to me. It was like they have something that I don't have. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know what it was. But as I met more and more people and intermingled with them, I needed to have what they had, to the point where it kind of started scaring me that I didn't have what they had.
Yeah, so you're in a place, moved in, don't know anybody, someone comes along and says, hey, why don't you go to church with me? You haven't been going to church, and to say, okay, I'll go to church, and you know, you weren't feeling great, it was dark before, now you get to church and you see people and they seem to be happy and joyful. Yeah. You went to a Koinonia class, they warmly received you and you felt this experience. And yet you're still in experience going, there's something missing.
Come on, God. Yeah, I was so discouraged. It was like God was answering everybody else's prayers except mine. And I just kept getting more and more down.
Yeah. So in that period, you told me that you had read the Bible. And as you looked at people's lives and you began to kind of long and want what others seemed to have, because you knew about it. You know, you had said, you know, you'd been educated and you understood the Bible and all that stuff intellectually, but you were seeing something that they had that you wanted. You had read at one point also, you had mentioned to me that Jesus said you need to be born again. So there was something in your heart you were kind of longing for.
I felt empty because of all my schooling and degrees, whatever. I mean, I could figure anything out mentally. I had figured out that, you know, who God was, that Jesus was my Savior, but it was here. It wasn't here.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is that what they have? I'm thinking, do I have a relationship? I'm talking to God saying, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why am I different? What's wrong with men? What's wrong with me? And then I started getting afraid that when I read these verses talking about being reborn, and I mean, I talked to people who could tell me the date and the time that they had this spiritual experience. I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing everything wrong?
So it kind of led you, from what you had told me, to a point of not, again, you're in despair, even in the church, but you love what's going on here. And you told me that as that happened, you felt like, at a certain point, quitting, right?
I wanted to give up. I put my devotionals away. I hid my Bible in the back of a shelf. I wanted nothing. I didn't pray. I wanted nothing to do with God, Jesus, because it wasn't working for me. So I was desperate. It was really agony. I was so frustrated because I knew something was out there. My head knew what was going on, but I couldn't make the connection.
Right. And then you mentioned that in the midst of that, you heard about, you had gone to Grief Share because you had lost your father and you were working through that. So you got to know Beth Moorhead, who's always a really good person to know.
Right. Yeah. I asked Beth if I could come in and talk to her about all of this. And poor thing, I just dumped.
She gets it a lot, so don't feel bad.
You know, and she always has great ideas. And so I'm listening to her, and she had mentioned this thing, this gateway ministry, and I kind of took it in and thought, yeah, that's nice. As I was leaving, I thought, thank you for taking the time, Beth, but none of this ever works for me. So I left thinking, you know,
over.
Nice idea, but here I am back at square one.
Kind of even contemplating not only not doing anything with the Bible or anything, but almost done with church, almost and done with kind of like God. You're angry even with God at a point.
Yeah.
And so you're told by Beth about this gateway prayer ministry, and then you see Kim at another point. Yeah. What happens?
Kim got the dump too. I was angry. Nothing was going right. I'm calling her on the phone saying, what's wrong with me? And, you know, I'm dropping dishes, breaking things. It was just, I was a mess. She listened very patiently, as she always does. I crawled into bed that night, and she sent me a text and said, what would you think about going to a prayer ministry? And I thought, wait a minute. Two people that I trust and love are sharing this same thing.
Could it be God?
Could it be God? I thought, well, it woke me up enough to say, there's something here. I got out of bed. I went to my laptop, looked up Gateway Prayer Ministry, and was reading this and reading some of the testimonies. It was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. So I set up an appointment. But before I went to the appointment, I almost canceled. Because, you know, none of this good stuff ever happens to me. But I had told a couple people about it, so I felt kind of
accountable.
Yeah, like I had to follow through.
So in one hand, you have this desire and asking and seeking for a real personal relationship with Jesus. And on the other hand, you have this voice in your head that says it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And you're hearing that again and again. And that leads you to kind of give up from time to time. And then God kind of comes in from another angle. And now you're signed up for Gateway Prayer Ministry. contemplating, well, I shouldn't even do that, but you do that. You show up. Tell us a little bit about Gateway Prayer Ministry, just really quickly, is an inner healing ministry that helps people deal, I think, with a couple of things. One is to hear the voice of God. We really like for people to hear the voice of God. It is also a ministry where we help people lead them through forgiveness. A lot of times people don't even realize areas where they're stuck because they haven't truly forgiven, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help reveal that. And the other thing is we really encourage people to live by God's word, by the truth, and not by lies. So that's just kind of basically what happens. And what you have is two people there, and they're prayer people, and they just guide you through prayer and listen as they best can to the Holy Spirit as you are doing that. So tell us about that. You don't have that in your background at all. You're just going there, and there's two people who are guiding you through prayer.
I'm desperate and I'm scared because, of course, when you're in a certain frame of mind, you can take anything from scripture however you want to twist it. Right. Well, all the scripture that I was reading was telling me that if I don't get Jesus in my heart and if I don't have a born-again experience, I'm not going to go to heaven. I was scared. So I go to this prayer ministry having no expectations, well, kind of low expectations, because as I was going, it was like, of course, this isn't going to work for me. So I kind of went in and thought, yeah, whatever. So I meet these two women, and they're, I mean, incredible right from the beginning. They're just incredible. So they welcome me into this room. I sit down. I said, you guys, thanks for coming. I appreciate your time, but I have to tell you right up front, this isn't going to work.
A little disclaimer right away. I'll spend some time with you, but I'm walking out of here the same
nice
person.
Nice that you're here, but it's not going to work. Well, we immediately prayed. I'm like, whoa. So we prayed, and I'm learning from them that this is guided prayer, assertive prayer, because they were speaking to some of these voices inside me.
And also asked you to speak to them, right? There was a point where you felt something in your lower, a burning sensation or something
yes.
you told me.
It was kind of prayer, talk, you know, just kind of however it went. And just as I was kind of getting a little more comfortable and a little more confident, I could feel this burning kind of down under my rib cage. Kind of, it felt like a lung or a heart or something. And I, like, you guys, this is what I'm feeling. So that's when they taught me how to say, Satan, get out of here. And to say it out loud and assertively. So that was like, wow. And so it went away for a while.
So you did that, and then they continued to pray with you. And at one point, as you were praying and sharing, and you said you were crying and in a way just really needing comfort. And they said to you, tell me if I'm right on this, they asked you to ask Jesus to come to comfort you. Is that right?
Yes. So I kept having to stop and breathe because I'm crying because, you know, all these issues are bubbling up and I'm just kind of letting it all go. And they were talking about comfort. They were talking about Jesus. Deb, do you want Jesus to comfort you? And I saw Jesus standing there. He had his white robe on. He had his hand and he was reaching out to me. So I'm telling them this while I'm sobbing. This is a miracle. I'm feeling something. It was, there are no words. And then they said, would you like to sit on Jesus' lap? And I'm thinking, you know, in my pessimistic mind, yeah, right. Well, we prayed some more. And the next thing I realized is I was sitting on his lap. I could feel his fabric. He was looking down at me like a father would look at a child. And I was in this glow of comfort. I felt love like I had never felt love ever before in my life. And I'm telling them this, and they're, you know, praising and whatever. And it was just a miracle. And I had to stop because I was sobbing, you know. So we kind of went on. But I couldn't believe it. And while we were there, I felt God like I had never, you know, God was always out there, some big thing, you know, but I felt God in our presence, and I knew that God was kind of hovering over us, leading us, guiding us, It was the most incredible feeling I've ever had. I look at God completely in a different way now. I knew the Holy Spirit was there. I knew the Holy Spirit. I could kind of picture him down here, kind of running things. But I knew he was there. I felt his presence. I had never felt any of this ever before in my life.
Yeah, I just, and you shared that with me, and I know people have different experiences. The best way I sum it up is that God is so incredible. He works with us all in such different ways. I've never had that experience, but you had an encounter with Jesus that transformed your heart, and you had been saying for so long, I really want to know you, Jesus. I want to, and you asked, and you seeked, and you knocked, and we're ready to give up, and Jesus says, don't give up, and God continued to lead you. Praise God. I mean, it was God leading you, right?
Absolutely.
And then bringing you to a place where you had an encounter with the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's changed since then?
Everything. At the end of this session, because I was always worried about all these people know when they had their reborn experience or when the Holy Spirit came into their lives, and I'm like, no. And I had shared this with these women. So when we were kind of done, they both said, well, you had your reborn experience as of today. And I thought, yeah. And that's what it felt like. God was totally different to me. I could feel him. The Holy Spirit, who I used to be afraid of, he was always there. I mean, he's always there. I read the Bible differently. Scripture means different things to me. Mm-hmm. And I just praise God for that. I was lucky enough to have that opportunity. It's a miracle. I feel things now. It's not just research and
in
that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the other thing you shared with me, which made it easy for me to ask you to do this, is that he has, you can share about this, but has placed in your heart, you just kind of like want to tell everyone. Like, go tell it on the mountain.
It is. When I was sharing this with Kevin, I mean, when I get excited, my voice is really loud, and I thought everybody in this office is probably hearing me because I'm, like, shouting. But it's like now I get when I read in the Bible and it talks about the good news, sharing the good news, that just excites me so much. Yeah. And these are feelings that I've never, ever had before. I've worked so hard, and now I don't have to work hard because it's just there. Yeah. It's just a relationship. And I felt before that I was in these chains, in this bondage, in this prison that I had created for myself. And I felt so free.
Yeah. That is so cool. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to share?
You guys, if I can do this, you can do this. I now know that when I read the Bible, it's all about hope. And I had none, and now I have tons. Yeah. So good. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the way that you draw us to yourself and for the way that you have promised that you would move in our hearts and our lives. If it's our desire to know you, we can know you. And so I thank you for the way that you have done that in Deb's life and heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just want to make a couple comments, just because stories are how God works with us personally. And God gave Deb this incredible encounter and experience with incredible feelings and emotions. That doesn't always happen for everyone. Jesus did a work on the cross, and it's your trust in what he's done and his grace that's sufficient. And through that, he offers us relationship. But I do know in the church, so often we live with a lot of, in churches that you've been going to for years, we live with a lot of what I call lies. And one of those lies is that it's just an intellectual thing. It isn't. It's got to move. And it doesn't have to look like that, okay? But it's got to move to an inner place of your heart where you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And everything you want to do is no longer to get him to accept you, but you want to live in such a way that your life makes a difference in loving others. That from your heart and from your life, because the love you've experienced from Jesus, you just want to share that love with others. And that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set us free, chains and bondage and different things. And here's another thing that I've noticed as I've worked in a pastoral setting with people and knowing God's word. Don't accept every voice in your head as coming from you. You just got to know that. There truly are spirits that are evil and wicked and do not want you to come to know the living Lord and Savior. Does not want you to walk a vibrant life. He would much rather have you walk a life where you kind of know a bit about it and you kind of are inoculated enough, but you're just not overly either excited or engaged. And he will mask voices in your head. And you do need to say, Jesus heard a voice from Peter, and he wasn't saying to Peter. He said, Satan, get behind me. See, he didn't want Satan's voice to ever be the one that influenced him. And I remember working with someone who I had the opportunity about 20 years ago, and it was this incredible experience where this woman was hearing voices, and I said, is that really you? And she was going, but that's what my thoughts are saying. I said, would you want to just separate yourself from those thoughts and say, in the name of Jesus, leave me? I truly believe, because I experienced it and saw it, that at that moment, something demonic left. I'm not trying to get us all scared. I'm just saying, recognize the Word of God paints pictures of the reality of this life with Him in ways that are sometimes beyond what we like to control and structure and put in place. And so I just want you to just know, and not every voice is a demonic voice, okay? We have a gift of discernment, and you have brothers and sisters who walk with you. You have people who are pastors who have been trained, and there are people who want to work with you, counselors who come be around you. You have people that God motivates in your life, like He motivated Kim to say to Deb, hey, how about coming to church with me? So I kind of want to conclude this year and say, God, we want a whole lot of new births. We want this to be a year of beginnings for all of us in a way that we say, God, this is not about playing church and going to church and I have a nice group of people that I have friendships with. This is about You taking full control of my heart and my life and using me, and as I participate with You, doing the kind of things that only You can do through me. And they don't have to be big and flashy. They may not be. Most often they aren't. They're pretty ordinary. But when you show up in the ordinary, the super ordinary, if you're open to it, can show up through you. Oh, I'm going more than I should have. I said I wouldn't speak more, but I just want to go, oh, God, we want You so bad. We want more of You. And I just have to say, in your heart, if you're questioning, it's okay if you're doubting. I'm fine with that. Bring it to Jesus, okay? If you're in a place where you're kind of hungry, going, man, something resonated with what was said there. Go to Jesus, ask, seek, and knock. Because I truly believe He wants us to experience more of Him than what we experienced yesterday and last year. So church, all of you who want to, in your hearts, at prayer and agreement with me right now, as I pray this, I'll pray it, and then if you agree, that's where you kind of say amen, okay? Father, send Your Son, Jesus, to be exalted and glorified And Jesus, giver of your Holy Spirit, fill us and this church and every person here who is open and desiring and hungry for you, so that you could explode through us in the lives of people around us and in this community. God, we want more of you in this coming year. We want more of you. And this year, we thank you for all you've done, but we want more of you. And we say all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.